The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Yesterday, too, there was a story about the composer and conductor Eimear Noone from Galway. She is the woman behind this score.
We will never be slaves!
Eimear is to be the first ever woman to take charge of the orchestra at the Academy Awards or Oscars ceremony next month. But what about the music score industry? Is it a lucrative one? Who is sweeping up all the money, and is it an attractive option for jobbing musicians? I'm joined by Sarah Glenan, CEO of the Screen Composers Guild, and composer Jonathan Casey of Envision Sound. And I suppose first to you, Sarah. When it comes to the industry and this business, what would the dream gigs be that somebody would like to land that are really going to be lucrative and amazing?
Well, I suppose there's two areas. One would be the episodic TV that travels internationally. So people talk about children's animation in that way, because it can be translated into millions of different languages and sent all over the world. And the royalty return from that can be incredibly lucrative, but it will be spread over a time period after the work. Otherwise, the Hollywood blockbuster. Like, if you have someone ringing up saying, well, we just have 5 million for our music budget, you're going to be...
Can you do something with that?
Yeah, yeah.
And you say, yes, I can.
I'll get my agent to call you.
And it's that sense of something having longevity or repeating.
Yeah.
That's where, because of the way the contracts are structured, that's where the you can earn most money.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is traditionally how the area is funded. So for composers, there is two payment types. So there's the initial fee, which will probably include all the production budget as well. So you might be looking at getting 40% to keep, say, at the end of the project, and having spent 60% on recording and producing the music and delivering it and hiring the many other people that are involved in recording and producing it. And then there's the royalty return, which, depending on how you contract, which comes from the copyright. So the copyright belongs to the composer until they might sign it over, and then the production company might take the publisher's share 50%, and the composer takes the writer's share 50%. So that's when you hear people talking about, my dad wrote a Christmas song, and, you know, the grandkids are still
living
reaping the benefit. Yeah.
And if somebody won an Oscar, is that automatic then that they're going to make a fortune from there on?
They'll certainly be in demand. But I did hear a story the other day of a composer who had won an Oscar, and he said the phone stopped ringing then, because I guess it's such a jump up, you know, that maybe you leave the area that you were working in, which might be in a certain budget and price bracket, and move into a new area. And you'll have to, every composer that I know, from Hans Zimmer right down to the beginning composers, must learn to navigate the industry. They must learn how to network, how to keep in touch. We had Patrick Doyle, a world famous composer, over recently doing a masterclass for us, and himself and Bill Whelan both were saying each year they will take time to go to Hollywood and reconnect
and they keep that going.
Jonathan,
yeah. You're a composer. Animation, what have you been doing?
Yeah, it's mostly animated series I've been doing the last 5 years. And once you get locked into doing one, then it's a kind of a marathon for about a year. It might be 52 episodes, and they're coming maybe one or two every week. And there's no room for writer's block. You just have to get on it and hold on for dear life.
And what have you done? What's the most recent one?
Most recent one is Space Chickens in Space. It's co-production with Disney, and it's on around the world. Like Sarah says, it's been translated, and it's a great thing to be involved in. It's a very imaginative, creative endeavor for a year. So it's a great thing to do.
Do you ever get asked to do something unusual, a bit off the wall, something that's difficult creatively?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the animated stuff, it's nearly every week, because they'll throw in a different element to each episode. So there was, I remember there was one time where it was pirates. It was a sort of pirate episode, and they said, but these are these are hip hop pirates. So if you can come back with some hip hop pirate music, that would be brilliant. So what
did you do
is that? So if someone gives you a job like that, you have to say, okay, what are quick components to suggest hip hop, and say, okay, well, like contemporary beat and maybe record scratches and corny stuff like that. And then for the pirate music, you might have a jaunty accordion and whistles and you know, like a jaunty maritime melody.
That sounds just like a hip hop pirate.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's where there's amazing additional skills that go into scoring for film. You are really, the composer is part of the storytelling.
Now,
team,
Sarah, in the industry, the really big global names, you mentioned Hans Zimmer, who crops up. He's done, you know, I don't, Gladiator, and he's done so many different ones.
The new Bond film, apparently, he's doing.
I'm sure that's very lucrative. But he would feature as a producer as well, and he would get a percentage. Yeah. There's a difference between just composing and actually being a co-producer, is there?
Well, absolutely. I think at Hans Zimmer's level, he can name his relationship really with the production, because having him on board will increase the funding potential for the project, like having Tom Cruise or, you know, a big named cast member. A big named composer who has maybe Oscar heritage will also increase the funding potential, and they might want to participate in that. They might want to put some money in and get some
money
back.
But at his level, is he writing the music, or is it his name and there's a whole team of people?
He would be overseeing the writing of the music. So he has a substantial team, and he's quite kind of famous for that, and really well-known composers such as Trevor Morris, who did the Viking series here, have come through that team, including also an Irish composer, Fiacre Trench. So there is that is something that would be, and even Hildur Guðdóttir, who's the Icelandic composer nominated for the Joker score, she would have worked with Johan Johansson, and there was an Irish composer, Brian Crosby, who's a member of the Guild, who worked with them in Berlin. So
there's Irish connections cropping up.
Oh,
all
completely,
over the place, yeah. And obviously, when we think of the world of music and entertainment and film, Jonathan, we often think of egos. Do you have to not have an ego? Because in many cases, people might not hear your music. It's part
absolutely.
Of the atmosphere.
There's definitely an element of handing over control of what you're doing, because it is a service at the end of the day. And a lot of musicians, you know, they do have an ego because there's been a courage in their convictions. They've believed in their abilities, you know, and that's why they're still a musician in adulthood. And it can be difficult then to get to a point where you write something you think it's brilliant, and someone says, "No, that's no good. Can you do it again?" Mm. And you really have to accept that and say, "Well, this, you know, I'm working for them. I'm making music for them."
Yeah, you need a lot of resilience, I think, in your personality, and certainly your did they call it the imposter syndrome? I think you need to invite that to leave the room for the 15 years it takes to.
you need to when you get knocked down, get right back up again.
Yeah,
I'm just going to have to leave it there, Sarah. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Sarah Glenan, CEO of Screen Composers Guild, and Jonathan Casey of Envision Sound, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.